Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, guys. This is Live in the Day with Jay. I am your host, Jay, and I hope that you have had a very productive day thus far. First and foremost, let me say that I really apologize that we did not get to get on the air earlier like I wanted to, but it's okay because we definitely are here now, and there's things that we we really need to get in the focus, and I can't wait for you guys to get exposed to some of the things that I am going to expose to you on today's show. We're going to come to North Carolina teacher rally. You know, we're broadcasting a couple other places too, well, quite a few other places, but the show itself can be heard in Raleigh, and there's certain stations that's playing the show, and we are really excited that we have the opportunity to do some of the things that we are going to do today. Now, I'm going to play a clip later on. It's going to be a clip of something that in Kentucky stated last month. I think it was last month when they were rallying, the teachers were rallying in Kentucky there. You wanted to say, yet he did come back and apologize, but it was absolutely ridiculous what he had to say. Number to call, 646-716-106. Also, we're going to re-examine this rally, and we're going to see if this is what it's going to take things better for the teachers and educators and workers. You know, you don't have to be a teacher to benefit from this, but workers in the state of North Carolina. I'm going to give you my thoughts. I'm going to give you my thoughts because I am myself in the school system also. So I'm going to give you my thoughts and let you know how I feel about it, some of the things that I've heard about it, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. But we have to come to some consensus. Have to. The time is now, guys. The time is now is to start looking forward to uplifting our young people and getting them to where they need to be. That's to really pay attention to what's going on today, because today is a very, very, very special day. Today is a very important day. Today is a day that we need to realize that there's lots of opportunity out there, but we're going to have to step as a unit, as one, and we're going to have to make sure that we solidify what's going on for our young people. It's the only thing we can do. 646-716-7106. You guys are definitely, and I mean definitely, live in the day. Jay. Thank you.
de tempos ancestrais. Me vi de perto, nu como um deserto, errante navegante no mar sem fim. Foi quando vi ela ancorar no cais. Do meu olhar ela é a expressão da paz. É ardentia, pura simetria, minha deusa Vênus.
Inspiring Males for Success provides new hope for males ages 6 through 17 in the Gaston County and surrounding areas. Mentors Inspiring Males for Success strives to inspire participants to spiritually, mentally, and culturally grow to achieve personal and social accountability. For more information, contact Glenn Bratton at 704-524-4058. Again, that's 704-524-4058. 4058. Mentors Inspiring Males for Success. Gastonia's hope for the future.
What's up, world? You already know who it is. It's the big homie Ambush, a.k.a. the Southern Secret. And you are now live in the day with the brother Jay, blogtalkradio.com, Green Light Inc. It's a go. It's official like a referee with a whistle. Let's get it, man.
Welcome back to the show. Number to call 646-716-7106. Again, that number is 646-716-7106. Guys, we have some things that need to be taken care of in the communities. This rally is one that had to happen. I know I said that before we broke the beginning of the show, but this had to happen. This is not something that should only happen once. This should be something that continues until the teachers in North Carolina get what they want, get what they deserve, get what they need. It's quite interesting to me that teachers from around the nation are starting to really, really push for what is rightfully theirs. I don't understand how legislators expect for teachers to do their job effectively and to raise our young people and to give them the guidance that they need without the tools that they desperately need in the classroom, without the pay that comes with the risk that some people take. Look, I'm going to be 100. There are some places where there are teachers or schools, and the kids are really rough kids. They're rough kids. And these teachers go to school every day with a smile on their face, looking to conquer the world. But yet still, you elected leaders, not only on the state level, I'm talking about local level, that don't want to see this happen. They say they do, but they're not doing the things that it takes to make sure that these teachers and these schools and these children are getting the support that they need. Now, I told you guys a long time ago that there are several things that play into the successful relationship in a community between the community, local law enforcement, jobs in the area, and education. And I told y'all one of those things have to be a great communication effort on one's part. You have to step outside of your box to be able to understand the need of someone else. This is not happening. So for those of you who continue to speak negatively about the rally, I'm going to be, again, 100 with you. I think we are the ones that have never stepped into a classroom. You don't know what it takes to be a teacher. And really, to be honest, you're probably one of the people who are looking at the school system as a glorified babysitting service. That has to stop. School is not just come drop your children off and go about your merry way or go don't work. I know you have to work. But you cannot continue to look at school as if it is somewhere like a babysitting service. Guys, we got to get better at this. Number to call 646-716-1106. Guys, we come back. We're going to be joined by someone. And I want you to really listen to what they have to say. Because I'm telling you, it is interesting how our younger generation of teachers are in the position where they feel like they are helpless and that there's no one there that's going to give them the help that they need. It's got to get better. It's got to get better. 646-716-7106. You guys are definitely, and I mean definitely, live in the day.
beans. Climb adversity like the walls of Berlin. Her wind, the going gets rough, you tuck in your chin. I lived enough to get the scuffs and scars. I played the boulevard, but never had to see them bars. I guess I'm lucky, new kids that did me shiesty. My life is priceless in the end. They all got stuck for mega bucks, I'm what they can't touch. You break me down and I rebuild again. Give me the tools I need to use forever, questing for these millions. I stand strong like the building called Pavilion. My offspring will share the same traits when they acquire children. Years to come, you remember this one. As the cut that got you over the hump, plus it bumped. The speakers of pound while lyrics I'm laying down will be the equivalent of a mind free from imprisonment. Escapism is a my grasp, but life's quicksand, be mad turbulent, never falling off, I push on, cause it's urgent and mandatory, it ain't about the fame and the glory, but the struggle, to stay on top, takes muscle, hustle every day, swinging a 9 to 5, my life is paycheck to paycheck, tears and sweat, no time for friends that wanna think and become foes, I roll solo down the yellow brick road, the sign up ahead states my future's 80 miles away, I'm trying to reach my destination before day. Hey, how you doing? I'm just passing through. While all the while I'm checking my rear view for any sudden moves. Problems, they circle in to try and outbox me. My name is Dre Rock, cause the road's always been rocky. I give the finger to the Grim Reaper. It's not my time to die, so I'm saying bye, bye, bye. Escapism is a miserable.
makes me wanna know. Oh, oh, if you are ready for the show, I beg you now, I disappear. I wipe away all your tears if you let me. Yeah, yeah.
Make something out of myself.
Show number to call 646-716-7106. Guys, through the break, I talked to Facebook a lot and some other outlets that I got on here, and you know, I got so many people that continues to say things that they really don't understand. They don't understand the struggles that are within a school. And, you know, a lot of people have opinions, but, you know, and I'm not going to go there with that thing. A lot of people have opinions. And some of those opinions are valid. Most of them, what I've been hearing today, is not valid at all. They're coming from people who have never stepped into a classroom. And I posed the question, and I'm talking to Gaffney. And I posed the question, why am I not hearing any support from the Gaston County board members? Why am I not hearing any support from them? Like I said, either I have been away on somewhere, but I haven't heard them in support of anything. Guys, I can't even further than that. There's people within the schools and not supporting the teachers. I don't understand that. And these are ones that deal with the same issues we're dealing with right now. Go open the phone lines up. I got someone I want you to listen to. Young lady is in the school system, and you have to listen to her views, what she's saying, and what you think you know about the schools. So welcome to the show, Ms. B. Ms. B, welcome to the show. You here?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. A little heated right now because I'm dealing with individuals who are on the show. Well, I'm saying on the show, but they're in the chat room. And
they don't understand
the problems that are faced within a regular classroom. And we're just going to talk about Gaston schools right now. We're going to talk about Gaston County schools. And, you know, and I know this is for all the schools around. But if you can, real quick, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I grew up in Durham County. So I was a student myself in Durham County Schools. I spent a lot of time in Charlotte-Mecklenburg, and I completed student teaching in Gaston County. And when I was listening to what you were just saying before that, I mean, I think it's really easy for people to have opinions about things and, you know, use their own experiences as their point of judgment. You know, but what the kids that I'm teaching and I'm experiencing every day are going through is completely different than anyone my age or your age went through in their own experience at school as a student. And I think it's really easy for people to start to blame parents and people's positions in society on why they are having certain experiences. But when it all boils down, everyone's supposed to come to school and have an equal opportunity, right?
Right.
Right. So I think this is why teachers are starting to speak up, because when you're a teacher, you don't just go to one school the whole time you're teaching and that's all that you know. Like during student teaching, they make sure to put you in different types of schools. So I've had experience, you know, in a Title I school. I've had experience in an urban setting, in a rural setting, in suburban setting. And there's certain things that you witness that are the same throughout, and that is there are certain people, there are certain students that have a really good home support at home, and they're going to be successful. And then in every single one of those settings, there are a handful, if not a lot, of the population of students that don't have that support at home. And I would argue that those are the ones that we need to advocate for, and that is why I think a lot of teachers are stuck on, we need more spending per student. We need more faculty besides teachers. We need statewide school construction going up. This isn't just about teachers wanting more money. And I think that's
exactly
why I'm frustrated with people weighing in their opinions, because all they think that this is today is teachers going and saying we want more money, but we don't know how to spend it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you think? Okay, so I'm going to keep it 100 with you. What do you feel about those teachers that are dealing with principals that don't feel this is a necessary move on their part? You know, cause it happened to me that the teachers are not the ones that need the raise. They need the raise, which I find absolutely ridiculous.
I think that it's like everyone has been put in their own little sphere, their own little like section that they are like, this is my responsibility. This is the people above me that I have to make happy, and this is how I can do it. And I think principals are stuck in this position where they have to stay really, really realistic about how to spend their money. And so now there's instead of having hope and hoping that things are going to get better, it's let me be realistic with what we have and what can actually happen. But that is just selling every single person short of what could be happening. Like,
right.
It's your job to go advocate and go and hope for it to be better, even though, you know, now we're in an atmosphere where you need to be realistic and prepare for the worst rather than hoping for the best.
So have you heard
any principals?
Have you heard any principles? You heard any principles in support? I haven't seen any on the news. But have you heard
any
principles?
Yeah, I haven't either. But imagine if you were in support, why would you speak out and say something? Because you're going to be scared that your job's on the line, or that someone's not going to agree with you, or the rest of your principal peers aren't going to agree with you. You know, like, I don't expect them to do that. But at the same time, your faculty and your staff are the ones that your job, it's like a manager at any job. Your job isn't necessarily to make the customers happy. It's to make sure that your workers are being taken care of. And, you know, they're the ones that are looking at the budget. They're the ones that are deciding how to spend money. I mean, I know in the school that I'm at, we had just the amount of spending per student be cut in half in the past, since my eighth graders joined sixth grade. So they all got their Chromebooks, and now my principal hasn't had enough money to buy, but like what, one cart of Chromebooks? Now you can literally physically see the difference. So the person that's looking at the budget is the one that's having to have this realistic mindset, which it makes total sense. But I just think it's sad that they can't look at it in a more of a hopeful light rather than a realistic light or idealistic.
But as a teacher. You know what, I ain't going to say teacher. As a worker in a school, don't you think that if you're making a run, a push for students at that school, don't you think that having your fearless leaders, so to speak, or should I say, I'm not going to say it like that. If you should have, don't you think that if you have the ones that through this educational experience with these the students and yourself, don't you think that you have their support, or you should at least hear?
Well, exactly, and that's why it's flawed. That's why this whole thing is flawed, because it isn't set up where you should be. It isn't the reality anymore, where you can sit and listen and take in everyone's opinions and make decisions on what you should go and advocate for. That's just not the way it is anymore. This is supposed to be a representative democracy. Like, the only way for you to have your voice listened to is to have the masses all agree, and then the people above and listen and go and make decisions and try and speak up for you. But that's just not the way that it is anymore, and that's where it's flawed. There's some sort of disconnect between what the parents and the students want, what the teachers want, and what the principals want, and what the board wants. There's some sort of disconnect where no longer the principals or even the teachers feel like their voice is being listened to. And that is why I think that this today is going on. This isn't a strike because they want to threaten their jobs. It is, we are at a loss as to how to have our voices listened to. And that's,
you know,
because that's stemming from back in 2000 when there was there was the whole freeze on teacher pay and stuff. Like, there, it started to become this, it doesn't really matter so much what the little people are saying and what the masses are saying. It is money is talking, and the people that are making the decisions about money are completely disconnected from the people that are having to experience it every day.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right in that aspect. But again, I must say, I'm very disappointed. And I will say this just for the Gaston County area. I'm very disappointed that some of our leaders in the area have not stepped and said that they are in support of this trip trial, because it's very important. Now, there's been some past board members and some past council members that have come back and stood up and said, look, I'm down with this. I'm glad that they're doing this. This is long overdue. But, you know, our young people, what would make them even more motivated is see the ones that they see every day on television and on the radio, hear them on the radio, and say, look, I know them. They are standing up for us. They're standing up for us. And if they're going to stand up for us, then it makes me go better as a student.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that sounds like a fairy tale, but trust me.
But it should sound like a fairy tale.
Exactly.
But it should. Why can't it? My whole thing is, how can you be against it? Like, it's because we
exactly.
are brought up in this society of thinking that the fairy tale is a pipe dream, that it's unrealistic and it's not okay. When really, that's the only way for things to get magically better. Like how
exactly.
else can something change unless you start to talk about it and you start to believe in it? And if exactly what you're saying. If the people above the students aren't even believing in it, the people that have a voice that actually are in charge don't believe in it, then how can you expect anyone to believe in it? And then that feeds into the classroom of where students are just kind of feeling like, oh, I'm just doing this because I have to. You don't actually care about me. If you cared about me, that, you know, we don't even have textbooks in my social studies class. Like, that's ridiculous. My teacher the teacher above me, she had to go to the local high school and go into their old textbook room and dig up the only set of textbooks that were a class set size that weren't completely falling apart. And it was about American history, which, if you know seventh grade curriculum, that's not really all that it's about. But she just did it so that she could have a textbook for her students. My other teacher I worked under has spent I don't know how much money on teacher pay teacher buying cool things to try and get for their students. Like, why are the teachers doing that? Well, that's because the teachers still believe that the education can be awesome, but then the kids don't appreciate it. There's no appreciation, and why would they? Why would they? They shouldn't have to know where these things are coming from in their classroom. That's not a worry that a child should be thinking about.
Yeah,
in their
head,
that's their right. They come to school, and they know that it's not supposed to just be a teacher standing up and lecturing them, but they also shouldn't have to worry about how it's going to be a different setup. And when there's all this talk, and then the media is portraying their teachers as walking out on them, that's not it at all.
Miss B, hold that. I got it. Can you stick around a second? I got to take this quick break, and I'm gonna come back, and we're gonna talk a little bit about this. Okay.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. Number to call: 647-106. You guys are definitely live in the day with Jay.
Taking What's up, my people? This is Big Easy from K-Cup Records. You're listening to Live in the Day with J Radio Show. Keep your heads ringing.
You are now listening to Live in the Day with J. Now go get 'em, Daddy.
Back to the show. Number to call 646-716-7106. Real quick, guys, I want to take the time to thank you, Little Rock, Arkansas, Philly, Chicago, Bakersfield, California, Houston, Seattle. I appreciate you guys for continuing to support the show, bringing us back on. Thank you, and I'm glad that you guys were able to join us for today's show, being that it was such a on things that's going on with the radio show. And I think I did say Little Rock, Arkansas. So thank you guys for continuing to support the show and bring in play the show wherever you're at. That means a lot. I get the emails. So thanks. We're talking with Miss B. She's in the school system, and she has a lot to say. Now, Miss B, you still here with us, right?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Now, I know you, before the break, you were saying something about how, and I thought it was very, very important. You were saying something about how the children, how the students, that is, should not know where some of the things that they are privy to the classroom come from. I agree with you. If you can expound on that a little bit more.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if it wasn't an issue, then they wouldn't even be questioning where it comes from. It's a right of yours to get to go to school and have an education. And imagine if you knew that, I don't know, whether, let's look at it at both sides. One side, you know that your teacher goes out of her way or his way to give you things, buy you things, spend their money. Then now there's this level of, like, guilt created. Like, oh, they're doing this for me. I have to earn it. And then the other side of, let's say you're in a classroom all day and there's no, like, extra pencils, or there's no textbook, or there isn't, you know, nice Chromebooks for you to use when you know that other schools have it. Then there's this level of, well, why don't we get it? There shouldn't be that. It should be uniform throughout the state. Like, every single, it doesn't matter what district you're in, you should be having the same opportunities. And a student shouldn't have to sit there and question, well, why don't I have, or why am I going without? What is wrong with me and where I'm from that I'm not just as likely to get into college as, you know, someone from Charlotte Mecklenburg if I'm from Gaston? That makes no sense to me. You shouldn't be, like, sitting there talking about what if my schooling would be more fun or it would be more important. And that creates, that harbors the whole attitude of I'm not as important.
Do the school you're at, what's the staff morale there?
I would say it's pretty high. I mean, I feel like everyone there, like, you're there because you actually care about teaching, or you care about your students. Like, you're obviously not there to go make a bunch of money.
Right.
But we do, our building definitely is, like, very, very old and definitely could use a bunch of renovations, which have been in the been talked about. But on the most recent vote, there was a vote for a higher school bond, I believe, for all throughout Gaston County. But yeah, all of those things that they proposed are only going to be paid for with the state, what is it, the, you help me out, if one of the taxes, like your purchasing tax, your sales tax.
The sales tax.
Let's budget in money that we already have. It was, okay, well, this is contingent on the other part of the building pass, too. And, you know, there's books in that library from so long ago. Like I said, there's no textbooks. I don't know. I think that a lot of the fun things that we do get are paid for by our parent-teacher organization. And I mean, our principal does advocate, like she does help and lets us do cool, fun things that we come up with. I would say the morale is pretty high as far as staff to staff, but there are some students that, like you'd find in any school, that just don't care. They don't they don't care if they get sent to their ISS trailer every day.
So how do we as educators combat that? I know that a lot of this starts at home. I know that the parents carry a bulk of, you know, what these children are going to do when they are away from them. But on the same token, the schools have them for almost seven and a half hours a day.
Right.
I know you can't raise someone else's child. And I know the things that you put into them that are positive, if they're going back to a negative environment, it's going to continue to balance out that way, to be unbalanced. They're going to learn those negative vibes when they go home and bring them back, and you're going to fight them every day. But how can we get the parents more involved with the success of their young people?
Well, okay, so this kind of makes me think of my point that I've been preaching all week about the circle of poverty. So the only way to get people out of poverty, to get them out of the situation that they are currently in, is either to change their health and change their education. And this is what we talk about when we're talking about underdeveloped countries. We have the bottom billion people in the world that make less than $1 a day. We have the bottom 2 billion that make less than $2 a day. Well, I'm sorry, these kids aren't making any money. And they're being treated the same exact way as how we treat other countries that aren't even on the developmental ladder. Okay, so they come to school. They might have a nurse like 2 or 3 days out the week. They have all these things set up called power school and things where we communicate with the parents. But at the end of the day, if your parent doesn't really care to check in and see what you're doing, they can completely be uninvolved in your education. And there isn't anything that's making up for that. There's nothing put in place to change that. You are what you are. You come from where you come from. You know what I mean?
I agree with that. But on the same token, if we start teaching our parents, you know, not as teachers, if we start teaching our parents to start really paying attention to who they're putting in office, that can really make their surroundings a lot better than what they are in the circumstances. I do think that we'll start seeing some change with children's behaviors in the classroom. Now, here's my biggest beef. I think that too many times in the school system, they are not matching the teachers up with the type of student that they need to be with. I don't think that a teacher that has been silver spoon fed all their life has the right to tell a child, I understand where you're coming from, when that child tells them, look, I go home, I have to take care of my little sister because my mother or my father is a drunk, or they're not there, or they're having to work.
Or they're
having
working
to take
all
care
night.
Of them.
Yeah.
But this silver spoon fed teacher will tell this child, I understand where you're coming from, but... And the first thing that picks up on is you don't understand where I come from because you never lived like I live.
Well, it's not – and I wouldn't even say that they can't be put in a situation where they can make a change in a child's life, but I think that they tend to take some of their interaction with that student very personally. Like, I'd never send my students out. I think I've sent out about 3 students the whole time I've been there ever. And that's because if you say something rude to me or you do something that's not going with what I'm trying to go with, I'm not going to sit there and get mad at you and take it as a personal vendetta against me. And I've seen a lot of teachers that just can't put themselves in a student's shoes and understand that there's other variables as to why they might be acting this way. Like when you make someone uncomfortable, you can't expect them to act respectfully. I'm sorry.
Right.
And I think that a lot of teachers – expect students to listen to their rules, and if they don't listen, then bye, get out. You either learn how to conform to my classroom or you're not a part of it, rather than understanding that that behavior is a part of your classroom.
Exactly.
Like, and you're going to have to figure out how to still teach that student. And the kids that are the closest to me, the kids that I walk through the cafeteria and they're like, Miss B, Miss B, and are coming up and giving me hugs, are the ones that the other teachers haven't found a way to connect with. And that's literally just because I talk to them like they're humans, and that, you know, if they aren't on board one day to do my work, I'm not like sitting there angry with them and kicking them out. I take every one of them with a grain of salt. And I'm not saying I'm the best teacher out there. I can connect with every single type of student. I just try to enter the building as someone that's looking at them as, what would I be like if I was them? How would I be acting if I was still in sixth or seventh or eighth grade? And how might they be taking what I'm saying? Like, every
right.
time you send a kid out, you are just furthering yourself from them. Now, yes, they need some hard discipline sometimes, so that they
right.
learn what isn't okay and what is okay. But at the end of the day, like, you can't tell a kid that you understand them, because everyone is completely different. What you can tell them is, hey, this is what I've gone through. This is how I handle it. And try and find the even tiniest little bit of connection that you can.
Exactly. Now, look, now I'm going to go on the other side of this, because I don't want this to sound like I'm anti-teacher, because I'm not. My wife's a teacher.
You're not. No, you're just saying,
I'm just saying,
why are we getting the same type of people in the
right.
school system? And those are the type of people that can probably afford to make a decision that, okay, I'm not going to make as much money, or I'm going to go into school and I'm going to figure it out. It isn't
but
teachers.
Honestly, do you think that money is the sole issue with the teachers? Because I don't really think so. I think
no.
just like they are rallying in a rally today in Raleigh. They were rallying for not only their pay, which is important, but they were rallying for better working conditions. So which
more
says
students,
a lot.
Yeah, more spending per student, more faculty besides the teacher. That means nurses, librarians,
exactly.
You know, every single thing in there. Statewide school construction, compensation for higher degrees. Like, why
mm-hmm.
is there no compensation? That used to be a thing. It was taken away. They're just saying, look, we are the adults, and we know that things could be better. And if no one's going to say it, then we want, like, we're trying to. And I don't think that they should be looked down on for that, honestly.
No, I don't. And that's my beef with some of the principals not supporting their teachers, their educators. That's my beef. My beef is you're a leader for a reason. Don't cower down and be afraid to speak up for your crew. If it was me, I would speak up.
And
for
that's
my
what
crew,
goes
give
back
my
to the beginning of my conversation.
Respect.
Yeah, I think
that's
why I'm talking about. They are in a position where I don't even blame them for that, because they are in a position where they have to realistically look at things. And the sad thing is that they aren't looking at it with hope. They aren't looking at it like it could be better. They're looking at it like, this is how it is, and it's my duty to make sure that everyone is able to have an education, and we make the best of what we've got. So
right.
I don't necessarily have beef with them in the sense that I expect them to stick their neck out. I think that what's sad is that the environment that they are in, and that they are being principals in, or that they are, you know, anyone with higher up power in a school, or teachers that have been there for longer, are used to this environment that they're in. You can't get mad at someone for trying to do the best job that they can. I'm not saying that they aren't doing their best job. It's just
right.
sad that they are in an environment where they don't even realize that there can be some way that they can advocate for something that seems like a crazy dream. You don't want to be accused of just trying to go get more money. And that's what's so annoying about this whole thing today, is like, everyone's being accused of, you just want more money, you just want to be greedy, why can't you work with what you got? Like, you don't want to be accused of trying to be wasteful. That's not it at all.
Right.
Or saying that you can't do your job with what you can, because you can. Obviously, we are still teaching students and getting through to a lot of students with the little bit that we have.
Right. Right. I understand where you're coming from. I definitely do. But
yeah, I'm just an advocate for everyone.
I got beef with them. I got beef with them because I've seen it happen too long. I've seen it happen I've seen it happen behind closed doors, and you know, support your people. Support your people. When you are in a role of leadership and your people look to you for guidance, you there's no way that you can fold your arms and turn your back and walk the other way, but say, I'm with you in spirit. Man, get out of here. It don't work like that.
Yeah.
Because we got lots of little people looking at that too.
And our superintendent or something was talking about like how this was going to affect parents. And it's like, how can you be against it? If you are really, really, really concerned about parents' impact on today, well, then why aren't you calling for parents to, like, give their students extra tutoring? Or, like, they could have been studying for their EOG all day today. They won't. I bet you more than 80% of them didn't even do anything educational today. But why not? Why can't you take your work home? Why can't you do any work at home? Why can't the parents be trying to get their students to be studying? Why is it all on us?
I agree.
Make or break it if you take one day off.
That makes no sense to me.
I
agree. And, you know, one thing that I have really seen within the school system is, you know, it's a lot of things that we are seeing are generational. The generation of the parents were like that. There's lots of parents that didn't finish high school. There's lots of parents that probably didn't finish the 10th grade. And they don't have high expectations for their children, which is sad. But on the same token, we have all these so-called professionals in the school system. We need to reach out. We need to spend some more money and reach out to these parents and kind of lift them a little bit. I'm not saying we got to be saviors to the world. What I'm saying is,
no,
if that's the outlet,
that it's possible.
If that's the outlet to our students and to get them to be successful is to uplift their parents, then there's something got to be put in place for us to do it.
I literally had an activity with my kids a couple weeks ago where I asked them to write down what their dreams were and what the obstacles to their dreams were. And I promise you, about 10% had realistic dreams where you needed to go to college and get a degree, and then you could enter into that career field. Then there was probably about 50% that either wanted to join the military or, you know, do something where you didn't have to go to college. And then the rest of them all wanted these crazy dreams, like joining professional sports teams, but they weren't even on the school team. And I'm like, you guys, how many of you think that you can go to college? And not many of these kids do. And that's surprising to me because I would fit into your category of spoon-fed growing up my whole life. Like, that was just expected. I was going to college. There wasn't an option of not going to college. So to sit there and be teaching students that don't even think that that's something that they should do or that they could do, it's really hard to figure out, okay, well, then how can I expect them to do my work and do really well when they think that getting a C is fine because they're going to pass on to the next grade and they're not even looking at trying to be competitive towards other people when they go into college? Like, how can I figure out how to get to them? And the only thing, it's quick and easy to blame it on the parents. But that's not how it should be. There should be things that after school that are making them college ready. Or there should be something that we can use to show them how easy it is to actually go to college. Especially in the situation they're at. When if you are a star student, you're going to shine way above other students in the environment they're in. This isn't a private school system where every single kid is pretty much going to college. Like
Right. I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you on that aspect. So my question is, how do we fix that?
Exactly. And I think the only way to fix that is by having everyone that's involved, teachers, students, faculty, everyone in one realm, not this everyone separate. Like when you have a parent-teacher meeting, it's very like, the parents are sitting there on edge like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, I don't want to be in trouble. And then the kids sitting there, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, I don't want to be in trouble. And then the teacher sitting there like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, I can't let this happen till the end of the year. And then I get in trouble. And it shouldn't be like that. It should be like, what can we do? What works for this specific student? What is their goal? What is their end goal? Where are they going? What's happening after this school year?
And what about what about the parent that never comes to the parent-teacher conferences or never returns calls? But the teacher has
just
to
completely
continue.
Uninvolved.
The teacher has to continue with teaching the class. They can't continue to stop what they're doing to go babysit a parent that doesn't want to be involved with their child. At what point does the principal step in?
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that one. That's just something that's just completely different than what's been going on. I don't even know. And I think there's also this whole, like, and that kind of bleeds into when you know that certain students are having issues at home, that, like, you can't really do much, okay?
Right.
Like, I'll hear about certain things, and I'm like, wow, like, this is a huge problem, and I'm not at a position where I can do anything. Because there's this whole environment of until something happens, you can't actually do anything because you're overstepping boundaries if you try and involve yourself. But there's so many warning signs that things are going to go bad for some of these kids' lives. And, like, I just have to sit there and cry about it at home and just be like, there's nothing I can do. You know, like, there's so many situations that I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, I've had students come up to me, like, and say the most, I can't even repeat them type of things. And I just, there's nothing that we can do. And that's what freaks me out. And if you did start to do something, then you're entering yourself into legal liability situation.
Yeah.
And why would you do that?
Well,
you know?
I'm out of time for this thing, but I really appreciate you coming on the show and just enlightening my listeners. And if my child could be in your class, I would pick you each and every time. I think you are the leader for what our school teachers are going to be and what our classrooms are going to look like. And just going and appreciate everything you're doing on this level right now.
Well, I hope that we have, you know, reached some people. And I think the most important thing is just starting this dialogue and having people talk more and more and more. And that's how change in history has always happened, is we all have to just talk about it. We got to be honest. And we have to have room for hope and believing that things can be different than they are. You cannot settle for how something is. And that's in realm of any social issue. But I just think that it's really important that people don't form their opinions on what's going on today based on what they're reading in the media and what their other parents are saying or what everyone around them is saying. And I really hope people look and just, why would you be against it? What is so wrong with being against it? I can't understand it. Maybe that's me being hard-headed, but I just don't get it. How could you be against supporting our kids?
Right. Maybe we'll say it for a discussion on the show, and I'll invite you back with some more people.
Sounds good.
Thank you for coming on the show, and we definitely will connect, all right?
All right, sounds good. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Number to call, 646-716-7106. You guys are definitely live in a day with Jay.
Whatever. I'll start if you work down. Are you tired of that stubborn belly fat? Would you like to lose weight and change the way you live? Well, look no more. Contact Health Consultants Mr. Ernest and Ms. Tanja Owens at 980-245-6294 to take the Project 10 Challenge. That's 980-245-6294 to get your body back in shape. Again, that's 980-245-6294. Or to get more details, go to www.crunchtime.bodybyvi.com.
Excuse me, I think you're the father of one of my kids.
Oh, Cancun, spring break 99.
What?
No?
No.
Oh.
Oops, someone forgot to boost.
Excuse me, I think you're the father of one of my kids.
Oh, my daughter's in your art class.
Sister Mary Catherine.
Yes.
Minute Maid Enhanced with a 5-nutrient boost. Put good in, get good out.
You are now listening to Lively Day with Jay. Now go get him, Daddy.
Welcome back to the show. Number to call is 646-716-7106. And now again, it's 646-716-7106. Guys, take your time right quick again to thank South Philly for joining us, Chicago, Seattle, for Bakersfield, California. Thank you guys for tuning in and joining the show this second hour. I really appreciate the love that you guys give me out there, especially on the West Coast. So one day we're going to have some shows out there in Bakersfield because I know you guys follow the show really closely. So thank you, and I really appreciate you tuning in and continuing to run the show on some of your stations out there. Now, been talking a little bit about what's going on in North Carolina with the teachers' rally that happened today. Personally, I think that it should happen maybe more. That's just my personal view. But, you know, I'm just one person. I think that there's a lot of things that need to be straightened out in the realm of education. And it's quite sad to see how other countries hold their educators up to a very high standard. And I mean, to the standard of they are really high in the community. But here, we treat our educators like they're second class to nothing, but we want them to work wonders with our young people and turn them into doctors and lawyers and all that good stuff that we are told that we can be when we first get into elementary school. But we don't want to give them the tools to make that thing that make those things happen. I don't understand it. And we continue to put people in office that don't care about what happens in the classroom because they never step in the classroom. But I'm going to read one statement I got from one of the city councilmen today, Robert Kellogg. He was going to be on the show, but he got some things that he got to take care of. But I promise you we'll get Robert on the show, and it's always a pleasure being able to talk with him because he's one of the ones that you need to be able to go to or you can go to help get these problems solved. And he is a great community worker. But he posted today on social media. He said, there is a lot of talk concerning the Rally for Respect and students today. Some of the concern is over the timing of the rally and if it should have failed today, forcing parents to find alternative care. He says, I will leave this argument to others, but what I will say is that it is a long past due that it is long past due that our public educators garner the respect and support they deserve. There is also no denying that a recent lack of prioritizing education has left our state in a vulnerable situation, whether it is a lack of supplies, school security, crumbling buildings, larger classroom sizes, less teacher assistants, pay that is below the national average, and a lackluster per pupil spending, which becomes the measure by which our investment in education is measured. It is obvious that these things have to change. Sir, while we can debate the logistics of the rally and the timing, there is no debating that if North Carolina is to be a jobs generator, we must be an educator supporter in every way. Today, I stand with educators, school students, and parents in saying that the focus needs to shift away from the politics of education. It's time to put people before politics and fix our public education system. If not, we close the door to our future and dim the hopes of students across our great state. And I don't think I have heard anyone speak better on this debate that we're having today in Raleigh or that took place in Raleigh than what Robert had just stated. There is lots of politics, and I don't know where they come from. There's lots of politics within our education, and it has to stop. If we take the politics out and just look at each other as humans and respect each other for who we are, educators, that take your children and shape and mold them into what they become, then I promise you we will begin to dig ourselves out this hole. Speaking of Raleigh, I'm going to bring my next guest. She is actually a school teacher in Gastonia, and she is on her way back from Raleigh. So we're not going to talk to her long because I don't want her running off the road or nothing while she's talking to me, but we're going to talk to her briefly. And just to find out how the atmosphere was in her eyes in Raleigh today. So without further ado, I'm bringing on teacher Ms. Shante Hinkle. Ms. Hinkle, welcome to the show. You on?
Hello, hello.
Now, don't be running off the road and nothing talking to me.
Because I got to be back in that classroom tomorrow.
Speaking of classroom, now you're coming back from Raleigh. Tell the listeners a little bit about the atmosphere. What was the atmosphere there when you got there today and throughout the day?
Well, first of all, before I even made it to Raleigh, going through 40 through Greensboro, all we saw was signs on back of people's cars, educators this, educators that. So I said, oh, no, I'm going in the right direction. So at that point, you know, I began to feel like, oh, we're just such a unified group. And I never attended a rally, so I did not know what to expect. Everybody was texting me saying, you know, be careful, be safe, watch your back. I never thought, those were never my intentions. I never had that on my mind that I would even be in an atmosphere of that. So pretty much as soon as we made it to Raleigh, all you saw were red shirts, red personalized shirts. And what really blew me, and I legit got emotional walking through the crowd and chanting, seeing kids out there, and I mean kids in strollers. So we had moms out there. Then we had retired teachers. We had retired principals that were out there. But kids out there with parents. It's really blooming because you hardly ever see parents now.
That's
kids
right.
And parents out there on their day off. So obviously the parents took off. Thank you for that. And the kids weren't at home playing game systems on tablets. They were out there with signs telling us how much they care for us. Thank you for everything that you do. We appreciate you. And it took everything in me not to cry walking through the crowd, seeing these kids and parents really supporting us, because we don't get that.
Do you think that today is eye-opening for some of our legislators?
I do, simply because when I was watching the news yesterday, they were talking about how the Republicans and the Democrats and the lawmakers pretty much came to an agreement on the budget. How are they going to use it? So they were pretty much saying, you know, underlying, like, y'all going to rally tomorrow, but we already came to an agreement. So, you know, one, they downplayed the rally. They said that we weren't going to show up in masses, and we did. They also knew that the rain was going to wash us out. It didn't. And it hardly even rained.
Are you still here?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. So the people came out suited and booted, and they were out talking to teachers and, you know, getting their perspective. However, although I do feel that they've made their decision prior, and I don't think the rally is going to change anything, I do believe that it was a total scare tactic, because now they know we have a voice, we're going to use it, and we will walk out.
Yes. And I, you know, personally, I don't think this is the end of it. I don't think that this one day is enough. Like I said before, I think that there needs to be several more days. And I, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see that coming on down the road somewhere. But I'm really happy that you were able to get there and safely, and to experience that. But you ain't experienced no rally till you come to one of my rallies. I can promise
you
that.
You should have been there today.
I wanted to, but I couldn't do that and do this show at the same time. We're going to talk to some more people from the state level on this show. I was going to earlier, but we couldn't. But we will get them on the show this week, because I want to hear what they got to say. And I'm going to talk to some of our local people in Gastonia, because they need to be held accountable also. Because I haven't heard anything from any board members about good luck teachers or we're behind you. So we'll talk about that another day. But how do you think, do you feel differently now that you went coming back? Is there a spark lit for you right now?
My heart is really full. I actually don't have any words. It was just a moment to where I feel like I didn't even take enough pictures to catch the moment. And for what I was told, they haven't rallied in about over 30 years. That's my lifespan. So for me to take the chance and say, you know what, I'm going to stand in the gap, because it's not just about our pay. We're standing in for students, and people do not realize that. And yes, they're upset that it slightly inconvenienced some parents today. But let's talk about how we're inconvenienced on a daily basis when we don't have the funding for teacher assistants, and then we start the school year off with 30-plus kids in the classroom. But
that's
nobody
right.
wants to talk about that. But we're talking about how we took one day and gave you notice. We could have just walked out, but we didn't. We took one day, you got proper notice, and we went on a day that they were making laws, that they were writing the budget, come together. So, you know, it just really saddens me that people are upset. And especially parents who view us as babysitters. I don't get paid enough to be a babysitter, so I'm the lowest paid babysitter if you want to look at it that way. But my heart is completely full. I'm so proud of the people who came. I was actually nervous, to be honest, because I was like, oh, my gosh, nobody's going to come. The rain did this. But, you know, the people showed up in ponchos and rain boots. It was like rain or shine. And now I feel like they know that, well, we might do it again next week. Or it might be next month. Let's talk about EOG Day. Are you mad? Or what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah.
So people don't understand until they're inconvenienced. And once they're inconvenienced, then they'll make some moves.
That's right. You sure you ain't been to a couple of Al Sharpton rallies?
No, but you know what? My dad marched with Angela Davis, so I'm about that life.
Okay, I see it because, you know, I've done quite a bit of things with Sharpton, and I hear a little Sharpton in you. So I just wanted to ask if you've been hanging out with Al anywhere. But, you know, I really appreciate you guys. I really appreciate you. I appreciate my wife and all you guys for taking on the task of becoming school teachers in the very beginning, because I know that it's hard. I see the kids just like you guys do in all their glory and every day. And, you know, we don't have the support that you need to make things happen. It's very disheartening. But I think today has opened some eyes, and I'm hoping that we don't just close the chapter on this day. I hope we continue to just, like, push it. We're going to have to push it, and we come in numbers. They got to hear us.
Right. And I don't think it is here. I think this is the beginning.
I'm definitely not going to keep you on this phone long, because, like I said, I don't want you running off the road and it be on me. So... You get home safe, and just be prepared for when I get this show up together with a lot of teachers. I'm going to do a show with nothing but teachers, so just go ahead and put a slot in for yourself.
That's fine. I'm here for it.
All right. I appreciate it. Get home safe. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right. Number to call, 646-716-7106. Guys, if you are just joining us, you need to go back and listen to the show on demand for free. You can go on jradioshow.com or just type in Live in the Day with Jay. Go to iHeartRadio. You can check out the show. You guys definitely need to listen to this show, because there's lots of valuable information that you really need to know in order for us to be successful for our young people, for our teachers, for our schools, even for those. And I'm going to go ahead and say it, even those idiots that don't support what's going on, you would definitely be in tune for them also to be successful. Number to call 646-716-7106. You guys are definitely live in the day with Jay.
believed that I was strong, a man afraid of nothing. I had the world inside my hands, that's what I told myself. But now I see that I was wrong. The truth is I have nothing. If I do have you,
part of my life, all of my life. You'll always be part of my life. And now it's another episode of our occasional feature, Science Fact or Science Fiction. From time to time, we'll present a commonly held idea or a popular saying, and we'll ask a Canadian scientist to set us straight on whether we should believe it or not. And today's popular belief is coffee can ease the symptoms of asthma. To help us settle the matter, we've contacted Dr. Paul O'Byrne, chair of the Department of Medicine at McMaster University in Hamilton and a specialist in respiratory health. So, Dr. O'Byrne, coffee can ease the symptoms of asthma. Science fact or science fiction?
This is a fact, Bob.
Really? How does it work?
Well, caffeine is a chemical that's a member of a class of chemicals called xanthines that have been known as a group to improve asthma symptoms for more than 100 years. This was originally identified by some physicians who themselves had asthma in the 19th century and who noticed that when they drank a lot of coffee, their symptoms improved. And partly as a result of that, these chemicals were later developed into a drug for asthma, a type of drug called theophyllins, that have been used now for many years to treat asthma, although much less now than previously.
Well, how do they actually work to treat the asthma?
Xanthines, and caffeine is one of those, works by relaxing the constricted muscle that's in asthmatic airways, and it's that constricted muscle that narrows the airways, and the narrowing of the airways results in the symptoms that classically asthmatics would get of tightness in the chest, wheezing, heaviness with their breathing, and cough.
So it opens up the airwaves, in other words.
Exactly.
Is this similar to what's in the puffers that people have?
No, that's a different class. The effect is the same, Bob, but it's a different class of medication. So the puffers contain medications called beta agonists, and they act on beta receptors that sit on the muscle. And when those receptors are stimulated, it causes the muscle to relax. So the effect is the same, but the puffers are much more potent. So you need much smaller amount of the chemical to get the effect. And because we're delivering them topically right into the lung, they are much less likely to cause side effects.
When you drink the coffee, is the effect on the asthma immediate, or do you have to wait a while?
It takes somewhere between 30 to 45 minutes for the effect to occur.
Which isn't too helpful if you're having an asthmatic attack.
Exactly right. And the puffers will work within a minute. So that's one of the reasons even theophyllin, that class of drug, has essentially gone out of practice now because we have such rapid onset and such effective inhaled medications.
How long does the effect from drinking coffee last?
It doesn't last very long. Most of the studies that have evaluated this would suggest it's an effect that would last 2 or 3 hours after the coffee. But there are some caveats with thinking about using this to treat asthma. One of them is that you need a lot of coffee to get the effect. Probably something like 3 or 4 cups of strong coffee to get any appreciable benefit.
Wow.
And if you were to do that, and they would need to be ingested over quite a short period of time, if you were to do that, most of us would get a lot of side effects. And so that's why we wouldn't recommend this very commonly, at least as a treatment.
Oh, I see. The effects from the coffee would be worse than the benefits you get from the
asthma. Precisely. And we now have much better ways of doing the same thing, so wouldn't be routinely used.
Ah, but nonetheless, drinking the coffee does have an effect on asthma.
Yes, it does.
Dr. O'Byrne, thank you very much.
It's been a great pleasure.
Dr. Paul O'Byrne is chair of the Department of Medicine at McMaster University in Hamilton. And if you have a science fact or science fiction that you'd like us to verify, send it in. We'll give you the addresses in just a minute.
Hey, what's up, family? This is your boy D-Lo, and you are now live in the day with Jay. Peace.
Something is happening in our world.
Criminals, factories, illiterate, uneducated.
Of people are rising up.
Whatever other negative characteristics you can think of, type of person.
Wherever they are, the symbols
of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And because
they are in Johannesburg, South Africa,
and giving me a desire to reform myself,
Nairobi,
and rehabilitate
Kenya,
myself
Prague,
for the first time
New York
in my life,
City,
and
Atlanta, Georgia, Jackson, Mississippi,
our
Memphis, Tennessee,
the
cry is always the same. We want to be free.
The teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad immediately did instill within me such a high degree of racial pride and racial dignity that I wanted to be somebody, and I realized that I couldn't be anybody by begging the white man for what he had, but that I had to get out here and try and do something for myself or make something out of myself.
Man, I don't even need to come back in on no intro music or nothing after that. Show 646-716-7106. Guys, like to say real quick, happy Ramadan to all my Muslim brothers and sisters out there. The day is Ramadan. I know y'all hungry. It's about time to get something to eat in a couple of hours, so or an hour and a half, something like that. So definitely take part in the fast. The fasting for today, you know, it's going to be a great month. If you have not gotten anything out of this show today, then I seriously think that you need to go back and look at what it is that you stand for. I sat here during all of this, and by the way, that news bit, that health bit, that was the same dude, man. I know that was the same guy talking to himself like I'm talking to you guys right now. So don't pay that any attention, but I just think they sound alike. Anyhow, sidebar, I digress for a second. But if you didn't get anything out of this show, you need to relook at things. You need to relook at how you're looking at life. You need to look at how you're looking, if you have children, relook at how you have looked at the blueprint for their future, for their success, if you have one. If you don't, then I seriously recommend you create a blueprint for your young people, because it's not a fair world out there. We've been told that. Things are not going to get easier for our young people. They're going to get harder. And as they get harder, we need to be on the front lines ready to stand fast for them. We need to give them, like I tell you guys each and every day on the show, we got to be able to give them knowledge and discipline. If we can't give them knowledge and discipline, we fail them. And I'm not going to be a part of my children's failure. I want to celebrate nothing but their successes. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to be perfect and they're not going to experience failure. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if you have a chance, as Spike Lee can say, is to get on the bus, then get on the bus. Get on the bus and get yourself together and fight for your young people. Fight for your children. Fight for your community. Fight for your school system. Fight for your dignity. There's not a school teacher I know that went to school for all these years to become an educator, but to have the weight of the world on their shoulders. See, it starts in our community, guys. When we start putting these people in the community, out of the community office that don't have our best interests, guess what? This is what happens. But if we can put the ones that have our best interests, and if they lie to us, I promise you, we're going to get you out of there. As soon as we can get you in there, we're going to get you out of there too. If they lie to us, let's get them out of there and get some people in there that's going to care about our young people. This is the only way we're going to be able to be effective is if we show up in numbers. And today, you showed up in numbers. Today, you showed up in love. Today, you showed up with dignity. You showed up with a plan. These are all the things Dr. King talked about. And today, I think it was tactfully demonstrated how he approached problems when he was living. Now, I'm not making this a Dr. King moment, but what I am saying is something good that happened. Build on it. Continue to build on it and not let this one day think you have claimed the victory. We know the games they play. Look, so I tell you guys each and every day, thank you guys for continuing to support the show. I wouldn't do the show if I didn't have your support and if I didn't think that my platform mattered to you. So thank the guests that come on. Continue to pray for them and that they get home safely after they've traveled and gotten their passion out today. And I want to thank you guys for continuing to support the show. I do this show for you. And I want to tell you that I love you guys with the greatest love I know, and it's for God, because he gives it to me each and every day. So if I don't see you again, I will tell you this: peace and many blessings. I will see you guys again tomorrow. You've been live.